morning, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. What an amazing God we serve. Isn't he good to us? Well, there's some lots of stuff we want to try to cover, but I want to make sure that you stay in the game. Need a little air. So let's see, we'll put one right here. And one right here. Now I got your attention. Because I'm going to need your attention. Now I could have got somebody to come up here and stand on one foot like that and keep your attention, but I'm pretty sure they got tired. This ought to work. So let's go to Genesis 49. I'm going to give it to you like God showed me. I'm always asking him, always. I listened to the message last night. I get home, and I say, God, I have all this stuff. Different people send throughout the week. Sister Nikki sent a real good writing. Mm-hmm. Brother Chad sends stuff all the time. I read all this stuff. I may not respond all the time, but I have to respond to the word. So I'm listening carefully, and so I say, God, how can I take all that was sent, all that was said, and put it in one message? How can I do that? And God's always, he said, well, it's simple. It's just like this. What's hard to God? We just got finished seeing it. It's hard to us, but what's hard for him? He said, it's simple. Okay, if it's simple, would you tell me?
Yeah.
Would you please show me? Because sometimes the word of God is difficult to understand, especially in Hebrew, when you're not Hebrew.
Right.
When you don't have that training, that backing on how his language works. But we're getting better at it.
Amen.
And the way you get better, you got to keep doing it, you got to keep doing it, you got to keep doing it, you got to keep going at it, and you got to ask God to help you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if you don't ask for help, it's your own fault. He said, you have not because you ask not. I'm going to ask him. He told me to ask, I'm going to ask him because he's going to help me through it. And so he's been good to me. Every time I ask him, he always comes through. And so I want to look at something here. I titled Three Gatherings. Everybody say Three Gatherings. Now last week I got on this gathering, this one gathering, and I said, boy, I better not go to the second one. And definitely can't hit the third one, but today I'm going to do both. Today I'm going to do both, because we need to know about these three gatherings.
Okay.
Three gatherings and one king. This is what this is all about. So in Genesis 49, we're going to look at something here that I think is going to help us understand why God does what he does and why does he choose to do about what he does. It's not just random. It's not, it always has meaning and it always connects to something. Always. Always. When you read the Bible, it's always, it's not random. It always has meaning and it connects to something. That's how the Word of God is written. If you read something and interpret it and it's disconnecting, I would change my interpretation. Because remember, our interpretation is what we think about the scripture. What he said about the scripture is what he meant. So sometimes we got to leave it on the page and let it say what it says. So let's look at it together. In Genesis chapter 49, verse number 1. And Jacob called his sons and said, who called his sons? Jacob. Why you got to know it's Jacob and not Israel? Because there's meaning behind Jacob and there's meaning behind Israel.
Right.
Remember, Jacob is the one who wrestled with God and then God changed him to Israel.
Right.
Yet he continues to refer to him as Jacob. Why? Because he's still in the flesh. He's still in the flesh. It doesn't mean he don't have prophetic utterance. It doesn't mean that he ain't spiritually connected. Doesn't mean he doesn't have covenantal promise. Just like you. You still you. It doesn't mean you're not connected.
Right.
because you had a bad day, you go through something. Sometimes you got to quit letting it out of here. We was told that last night. Just hold it in and pray about it. Don't let it out. Because once you let it out, you got to fight that thing back in. Say something. Say, I'm sick. Now you got to try to fight to pour that back in. You see? This is what I was talked about last night. Before you say it, before you let it flow out, put it in the matter of prayer. Submit yourself to the, humble yourself before God. You want to know why these guys were successful, everyone that was successful? You know why? They had, the character was to not say something so fast. And I've tried over the years to try to live by that. And I hope that you've seen that. Sometimes just because we think it don't mean we got to say it. Just hold it back and let God do what God does. But watch this. Yaakov called his sons and said, gather together. That's our first gathering. Everybody say gathering number one. So that I may declare to you what is to befall you in the last days. Now, I don't know if you understand this. Last days is not talking about just the end of their life. But he's talking about Revelation, last days, right here. This shall befall you in the last days. From an eschatological standpoint, he's speaking of the entirety of Scripture, launching from chapter 49 of Genesis all the way to Revelation 22. So you think maybe this guy's got something to say? Now who's the speaker again? Yaakov. Now when he starts to make this speech, there's going to be a shift. Verse 2. Verse 2 says, gather together and hear. Remember, so if and is put in there, it means I'm not finished with the statement yet. I got to finish the statement. If I'm using and, that means I got more to say. So not only do you gather together, but you do what? You hear, you shema. You sons of Yaakov, and listen to Israel, your father. Who's your father? Israel. Now, is their father Yaakov? Absolutely. But God shifted their understanding right here. Listen to Israel. Now go to verse, let's see here, 10. I covered gather number one. I covered gather number two. Now we got to cover gather number three. The scepter shall not turn aside from Yehuda, nor the inscriber from between his feet until Shiloh come, and to him is the obedience of the people. That's gathering number three. Because obedience means gathering. Obedience means gathering. Now, I always preferred football over basketball. I went to basketball, playing basketball, maybe three times in high school. They were short players, and I got in there and I said, you know what, this is not my thing. I was never going to be a point guard that was worth anything. Because I played basketball like I only had one arm. The other one just didn't work. It was just hanging there. It was fouling everywhere I went. It didn't work. So, you know, this one worked, but this one never worked. Coach said, hey, what's wrong with that other hand? Well, I don't know. It just follows. It don't do anything. Every time it touches the ball goes the other way. So I stuck with football. Played all my high school years. Been in the league all the way through high school. So this is what we're going to do today. We're going to do football. So now I'm going to be recruiting a team this morning. Okay? And how many, first of all, let me see your hand if you know the rules, not all the rules, but the basic rules of football. Let me see your hand. Okay, that's why I picked football. So there's how many people on each team that play? 11 on each side, right? Not 12. If you got 12, they throw a what?
A flag.
Why? Because there's too many people on the field. Because it's 11 is the rule. Okay, now I want you to understand, all of you are playing football this morning. This is this first gathering. Are we playing this? No, we're not playing this. This represents the huge stones. What are we playing? So the second gathering, let me give you a little bit more instructions here. The first gathering means you're gathering to be positioned. What's our position in this gathering? We're what, players? What are we? That's our gathering position. That's the position. And that's the Asaph that we gave last week. 8622. Means to gather, collect, assembly, bring in, take away. It's often used in the sense of harvesting grain, gathering the people, or receiving something unto care. So one thing you can't have is if you have your football team out on the field and some people come with a basketball. Will they look odd? They would look almost, for lack of a better word, dumb. Because we all know we're at a football game, you don't bring your basketball on the field. Now can you imagine, all the linemen line up and go, and they all got basketballs. They'd go, what in the world? They lost their mind. It would cause chaos. It would cause eruptions, disruptions. It would work. The quarterback says hike and he drops back and he's got the basketball in his hand. You're going to say, this guy lost his mind? Why? What are we playing? We're playing football. We take our position. That's the first gathering. That's the first thing. The second gathering that we see, and let's look at, let me give you one scripture on that. On the second gathering, Matthew. Matthew 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in their midst. Where do we need the one who's in charge of the game at? We need him in the midst. So we dealt with this first gathering, this 8622, this Asaph, God's people being gathered near to his presence, ready for revelation. Ready? We gathered ready for revelations. Now that we're ready for revelation, what comes next? The second gathering. Because he's showing us something in 49 that's unique to Hebrew understanding. Very unique. So this next gathering that we see is Kavats. I know it's a B there, but the B underlined is a V. Spoken with the V sound. Kavets. That's H6908. It means to gather, assemble, heap together, collect as a group. So what are we playing? Huddle up. Huddle up. Huddle up is the second gathering.
Right.
Now, why I brought you in close proximity? Because they're an adversary. Mm-hmm. I'm about to tell you the play.
Right.
You got to hear the play. If you don't hear the play, we got the advantage. We're an offense. We have the advantage. You know the count. You know the play. The defense doesn't know anything.
That's right.
The issue is people don't huddle up. That's the second gathering.
Right.
The second gathering is huddle up. Now you brought you in close. And let me tell you, now you can take your seats. Pop said there's 14 of us. Throw the flag. So we have the second gathering. I want you to understand it. I'm trying to show you in a practical way because you understand this. When he gives this, so he gathered them already, but then he says, huddle up. Where do you think Judah was? It's telling us where he's at. He's right next to the quarterback. And he's listening carefully. And because of that, Yaakov is watching this. And now it's passed on to him, or transferred to him, the responsibility that through his lineage the Messiah would come. It all depends on how you respond. Some people, they're not in the huddle. They're outside the huddle and they're doing this. They're just dribbling. That's all they do. They spend their whole life dribbling. They never get to the huddle. They never hear what's got to be said. Midrash is like huddle up.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you for this word.
It's like huddle up. And, you know, there's certain responsibilities you have as a minister. When you're in this setting here, you never know who's going to be here. You know, I look around, I can say, you know what, we could just do midrash right now because we have no visitors. But if you have visitors, you better be prepared for visitors also. In every message. You got to take somebody who never heard anything and cause them to be joined and linked with you after you heard all what you heard. There's no excuse for you to know, but how do you relate back to the people who never been one service? Sometimes you get a bowl. It's your responsibility. It's your responsibility. You're going to be given that responsibility often. You got to be able to take a person who's never heard a single thing about what you know and bring them within the congregation and bring them into the huddle.
Right.
You got to explain to them the play that they know nothing about. You might even have people who come in like this, and when you say huddle up, they put the ball down. And now what you're going to do? It ain't time out time.
Right.
We're talking about last days. Remember that. Last days. You have no timeouts left. Do you think this is serious? It's very serious. And so he uses this word, kavats. And it means to gather, assemble, heap together, collect as a group. Now it's the same group. But I can tell you, he's not talking about the assembly comes. The assembly comes. That's the first gathering. The assembly comes. Then he says, huddle up. Then you have those who know they're in the game and it's going to count. All that practice and all that play, now they're going to get it. And they, you know what they gather around the quarterback? Quarterback says, huddle up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that team gets it. How many of them have seen football?
Yeah.
I feel like I have to over-explain it because some of you, you're doing this. They gather in a huddle. They huddle up. I said huddle up, and everybody paused for a minute. Because
right.
It shocked you. But that's what you're about to have happen. You're about to get shocked when God says, huddle up. And when he does that, you got to be on it. You got to be ready. Because what do you do? You're football players. That's what you do. And so you know, you can take all the information in, and you can go to all the practices, and you can, you know, it's about to be the Super Bowl time, and you've been doing all year doing this. You're not going to be at Super Bowl, and he says, huddle up, and you're going, what did he say? Huh? What does that mean? You don't want to be doing that. You're on your game. You're snappy at whatever has to happen. You got to be responding. And you better tell the team that's going to win when they hit the field. They carry themselves with a confidence and an expectation to win. Do you expect to win? Do you expect Goshen land? Do you expect these things? Or is there something that may or may not happen? I'm trying to get you from that realm of where you lock yourself in to fear and doubt and come out of that, because when he's telling us this in three gatherings, the three gatherings of 49 is absolutely amazing when you take some time to look at each one. Now this third one that we see here is after we huddle up. Now we got to run the play. The huddle's over. And now it's time to run the play. That's where we're going. It's time to run the play. And how well we listen in the huddle is going to matter. Because I mean, sometimes not everybody's listening in the huddle. Well, I thought you said on two. And they jump on one. You know, how many's ever seen this happen in real time? You see it happen. This is not something I'm making up. This professional people do this all the time.
That's right.
They jump. This is not a time to jump. This is not a time to step off sides. This is a time to listen carefully in the huddle, because he's relaying a message to us that he never wants us to forget. Now we see that in the first two gatherings. Right? He gathered them together, gathered the assembly. Then he said, huddle up. We got the team. Now the huddle has to happen. And now that we're in the huddle, we have to listen. Because he told us to. Did he say in the second gathering, he said, gather together and what? Hear. I'm not making this up. Gather together and hear. So I'm asking God, I say, God, how can I explain this in a practical way to your church? He said, well, it's just simple. It's simple. I said, well, how simple? He said, you got a football? Is it simple or not? It's very simple. To God, it's simple. Well, you pray in your playtime, you don't realize it in your playtime. If you start to think about it, there's spiritual accuracy even in your playtime. Spiritual accuracy. You got to listen in the huddle. Amen. You got to pay attention. You know, if we're going to run, and I don't know no plays, we used to run a right 41 when I was in school. That was the first play every game, every time. That's what we ran, right 41. That was it. Everybody knew that. I don't care who we're playing, we run in right 41 every single time. Ever since I played football, that was the only play Coach Solis knew. We have to ask him. You run out there, right 41. Somebody come with a different play. We go back to the sideline. You don't know what you're talking about, because there ain't no way. That's what we did. So if I say right 41 and the team goes left, somebody's going to be hit hard. Somebody's going to be in trouble. And you have a chance, high chance of fumbling the ball.
Right.
And how many know we're at a stage where we can't afford to fumble?
Right.
We can't afford to turn the ball over. There's a responsibility that's been laid on you. You've worked all this time, and God's laying this responsibility on you. This is your responsibility. You put all the hard work in up to this point, and now all you got to do is listen to the play in the huddle. That's the second gathering. The third gathering we see here, let me give you a scripture on that one. Let me give you a scripture on that one. Hebrews. Chapter 10. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging so much more as you see the day coming is near. Is it important to make the huddle? You better believe it is. So sometimes we pick and choose, but I'm saying that Midrash is like the huddle. Purpose, plan, count, The praying, which we're right or left, whatever we go on, sometimes that all takes place through midrash. Because it's an extension of our Shabbat service to help us be able to get a lot of things that we can't say during this time to get in. Because sometimes your entire message is arrested because of one visitor. And it's not, but you're going to fight with God in the real time? You're going to say, okay, God, I understand. I spent 6 hours putting this together, but I understand that's so important. I always tell you, you have to have something in your pocket. You better have salvation plan. You better get to it because he's expecting that because you're his mouthpiece at that particular time. You got to lay that home. Amen? Amen? And it doesn't matter if it's last minute. It doesn't matter. That's why when I build something, I build it both ways, all the time. I'm habited that way because you never know. You never know who is going to get asked to say something next Shabbat. You don't know. You have no idea. I got you all on the spot. I say you can call any one of our guys. It doesn't matter. Because it should matter. We're in the game. And we've been through the whole season. This is where we are timing-wise. That's Catan and we're at the Super Bowl. And it would be foolish for you not to listen in the huddle. With the game on the line. The enemy don't want you to win. And you're going to be at the Super Bowl and you're still going to have people with this in their hand. I don't really know. I don't know what to believe anymore. You know, I thought ball was ball. And so, you know, you say football, I grab this one. Well, everybody knows that this ain't football. But you'd be shocked where people settle their minds at and they accept they don't know about or don't want to know. You explain the scripture to them and they say, yeah, but this is, you can throw it. It's like a football. No, it's not like a football. The only thing they have in common is ball. The rules are different. The time is different. And what God has us doing, he has us focused on one thing, his way. His way, the way, the truth, and the life. And now he calls us to huddle up. And we get in that huddle. And so this kavats is the body being assembled around the word. The body's being assembled around the word, not scattered or casual, but tight, focused, and obedient. Does that make sense? So the huddle, is the huddle spread out? No, the huddle's not spread out. Are they all on the same field? Yeah, the defense and the offense is on the same. They're playing football. They're all there. But when the huddle happens, they get in a tight formation around the word. That's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be getting in a tight formation around the word. And when we do that, you got to be expecting the word is going to go forward. Just like today. I pray that you came with that expectation. I'm getting tight around the word because the word is going to go forth and you're going to hear what God has to say. Amen. This is how Hebrew works. It's so unique. It's so powerful. Now watch this next one. This next one can be looked at two ways. Because it's more connected. Now all this next one is still connected to the root of kavats, but it could also, and it, we look at it 3349. And 3349 also is connected to 6960, which is kavah. We got kavats and kavah. Again, they all share this root. And what we have here is this. We have this kavats being gathered in hope and obedience to the one whose it is. That's why it comes from that word obedience. The obedience of the people. So how many want to be obedient? Amen. So when do you have to be obedient? Well, after the huddle breaks. Right. everybody's got to be obedient to what the play was. Anybody that has disobedience, it'll ruin the play. Just think that the center is on three, and he hides the ball on one. He was disobedient to the play. It interrupts everybody, affects everybody. One person disobedient can affect the whole outcome of the game. How many times have you seen that playing football? You go, what in the world was he thinking? So this is important that once the huddle breaks, the information you take that you learned in the huddle, you're taking it now, it's the third gathering. You got to be a what? Obedient to what you heard. How many see that? You have to be obedient to what you heard. Now this is important to God, and this is Kavah, but it also, that's Kavah 6960, and if you look at the same the Paleo-Hebrew, or the ancient script, you'll see that 3349 is also there. It sits there kind of by itself. It's almost odd that it sits there the way it sits. But this is we're here to fulfill in the line of the tribe of Judah the Messiah. Because remember, this gathering is connected to Judah. The other two gatherings are connected to the whole team. But now God, he assigned somebody to be a quarterback.
Come on, amen.
Somebody got to speak in the huddle. What if everybody's talking in the huddle? What if everybody's talking? Well, you know, the quarterback says, well, look, we're going to run this play, we're going to run on two. And the center says, well, I don't want to run on two, I want to run on one. And then the right guard says, well, I don't want to run it at all. I say we just give him the ball. Now, you know, we're giggling about it, but there's folks like that.
That's right.
They're in the last game of the season, the game is on the line, and we still having these discussions in the huddle. It makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. You say, well, how this connects to me right now today? Let me tell you how. We're about to step into the first gathering. It's called Passover. That's the first gathering. This is God showing feast before he showed feast. This is him showing it. We're stepping into the feast season, which is Passover and Matzah, first gathering. Then we're going to go to Shavuot, which is the huddle. Why is the huddle? Because it's where the Spirit connects with our spirit and puts the Torah on our hearts. Not on tablets. Writes it on your heart. So you don't forget the plan. Don't forget the play. The Shavuot is the second gathering. And the third gathering is the Super Bowl. It's called Sukkot.
Right.
Yeah.
It's when you win the game. This is God showing us in simple Hebraic language the three feast days that you require to make the pilgrimage in order for it to be pleasing the Most High. How many see this? So we see that this is wonderful stuff here. And I'm shortening it up for you. But let me give you a scripture on that third one. Let me give you a scripture. Can I do that? Revelations. Did I give you 2 Timothy 2:15 yet? Let's do that. Let's go. That's the second one. I missed one verse. Let me give it to you. Second Timothy chapter 2. Verse 15. It says, do your utmost to present yourself approved to Elohim, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. That's the second gathering. When you're in the huddle, do your utmost to pay attention. Do your utmost to hear the plan, the play, because you don't want to be the person who causes the game. You don't want to be that person. You want to be, because let me tell you, when you win as a group. When you lose as a group. I don't want to cause a loss to my brothers or my sisters. I have a responsibility. And I want to make sure that I take the responsibility serious.
Yes.
And to do that, you're going to spend hours in the Word of God. Not minutes. Hours you'll spend. And you may not get anything for the first few hours. You got to just meditate on it. Mm-hmm. Walk and pray. Meditate on it. Walk and pray. And then let God get you ready. Because sometimes we want to know the Word, but we're not even ready for it ourselves. Let him get your mind ready. Let him get you. And listen, while you're doing that, you always got somebody, while we're playing football, they're holding this. You holding this, and then somebody gets injured, and they call your name, and you're doing this. If I could spit it on my finger, I would. I can't. I didn't like basketball. But this is what you're doing. And you know when you're on the sideline, where you at? You're way over here. When I first started high school football, and you wasn't, the seniors and the freshmen, but you was over here. You was almost touching the band.
Come on.
Because you know you wasn't getting in. It's your first year. And so you over here, but you want it so bad. You know what you got to do? You got to put this down. You still in the same place, but you ain't thinking basketball no more. All you thinking is football. And it doesn't take long for God to migrate you over here. And before you know it, you're right there.
Hallelujah.
And you hear your name, Mars, get in there. I'm glad I listened to God when he said, Mars, get in there. Because that's what he said when he called your name. Get in there. It's your turn. And it's our turn. We can't talk about the generations that passed. They did their job. You can talk about their fault and all their failures. You can talk about all you want. That game's been over and you're in the game now. What are you going to do? And we build up a lot of stuff in the past that has nothing to do with right now. What are you going to do now? You can talk about all the mistakes and failures of everybody else in your life, but what you do right now, because you're the one changing, you're the one playing this play, you're the one have to be responsible, and you have to pay attention, like Timothy says, do everything you possibly can to make sure you're in tune with the Word of God, because it's your responsibility now. And so we see this 3349, this third one is Yikaha, or Kavah 696, so I put the both of them there so you wouldn't get confused. But I can tell you they're connected in the same room. Both of them on the same page that I gave you last week. If you look at that page I gave you last week of the Paleo-Hebrew, every one I just gave you will be listed there. You'll see them listed because they make a connection. And there's the exception that we see is when you read it in Hebrew, which we don't know how to read. If we read it in the original Hebrew, we'd come up with the word kavah, not yikaha.
Right.
Because we don't know how to read it, Strong's tries to help us, kind of guide us there. It guides us to these understandings.
Right.
And now I'm going to give you this third one, which means to wait, hope, or gather to someone. And let's look at it, this New Testament parallel, Revelations 5. Revelations 5, verse number 6. He said, and I looked and saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as having been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which were the seven spirits of Elohim sent out unto all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now, I don't think anybody's confused about who's on the throne. Jehovah, who's the Lamb? Yeshua. Now, who's representing the Lamb in our text? That'll be verse 10. Who's representing the Lamb in That would be Yehuda. Exactly. He's representing the Lamb. Now, there's a, remember, Genesis is shifting, right? For typologies, it's always shifting. But Yehuda is representing the Lamb. But in Revelation, we have this third gathering. The third gathering is spoken through Yehuda, not another person. You know why? Because the one who was more attentive at that time, who went scoped out Goshen? Who went scoped out Goshen? Yehuda, say it loud. Yehuda went, because there was a shift in the covenantal promises coming from Yaakov. They had not there were some sons important. Some were automatically eliminated by their bad decisions. But there were more that was qualified to have this, but not everybody was listening. When Yaakov said, because let me tell you, until the word was given, who was the quarterback in the huddle? Israel, the father. Listen to your father, Israel. Listen to your father, Israel. He's the quarterback, but he's watching, he's looking. When he said, huddle up, you know who was first? Yehuda. Now there's some good guys there. They're all great. Where was Joseph? He's still trying to figure out why his daddy did this. He got a little basketball on his mind. What are we playing? Football. You know, that's a lot of qualified people. But none is more qualified than Yehuda. Now, we don't read anywhere in Yehuda's line that he had a priestly line. But God was about to do something. He's about to run a trick play that will blow your mind, that will win the Super Bowl. Is that all right? Is that all right if God does that? Because in football, you have what's called the, what's the guy, the top guy in football?
The commissioner.
Is it commissioner or what else he's called him? They call him something else.
General manager?
No, not the general manager.
Roger Goodell. Like
yeah. What's him?
He's a, yeah, I call him the commissioner.
Well, anyway, that guy that's over football, everybody. He's over all the teams. Mm-hmm. Well, that's... I want you to think about God's over all the teams. Everybody is underneath what he says. And so God can change anything he wants. But what he does, he leaves everything laying there and he lets it all come together. And it's beautiful. Because he knows that if he changes one thing, he changes the feast. Because it has a residual effect. So you can't change anything because you have the first gathering has to be there, the second gathering has to be there, and you have to have that third gathering, or you can't introduce the feast without introducing them. Now, we know he introduced the feast because we made the connections, right? So we have this connection made for us so we understand. So this Revelations, we're looking at who's the Lamb, right? Standing and having been slain, having seven horns, looked at them. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl filled with incense, which are the prayers of the set apart ones. And they sang and renewed song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, because you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation." Do you know that after Yehuda left the first time, he left the brothers. It's clearly the scripture says he left them.
That's right.
We talked about that when we were doing our study, right? And he suffered a great loss. But how many know now he's redeemed?
Amen.
Now he's back. And now he's back, and he's the quarterback. You see what God can do? He can take you from a person who runs away, and all of a sudden puts you right back. Do we need that? Absolutely we need that. We need to know that we might fail in life. But failure is not the end. It's only the end when you fail, you pick the basketball up, and you quit being a football player that you were designed to be, and you go back to used stones. Because you use stones is easier. You can make them however fast you want to make them. You can make them the shape you want to make them. You can stack them the way you want to stack them. But it all has to be you. But God says, "I'm going to do it this way."
Right.
Sometimes you got to wait for nature to make it for you. Sometimes you got to wait patiently for God to open up and set it in motion for you. But one thing we know, that God made this promotion And now we have this typology of Yehuda being this type of Mashiach or the Lamb. And because that has to happen, because through him is going to come the Lamb of all lambs, the King of kings. Remember, we have three gatherings and one king. Three gatherings and one king. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seal, because you were slain and have redeemed us to Elohim by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us sovereigns and priests to our Elohim. We shall reign upon the earth. And I looked and I heard the voice of many messengers around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriad, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb, having been slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and respect and esteem and blessings. And every creature which is in the heavens and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, Tell him, sitting on the throne and to the Lamb, be the blessing and the respect and the esteem and the might forever and ever.' And the four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and bowed before him who lives forever and ever." So we see that this is connected to end times, this third gathering. Now go to 7, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 9. "After this I looked and saw a great crowd which no one was able to count." Now this is Sukkot I'm talking about. But this is the third gathering that is being spoken over Yehuda. Now you don't see that, right? Unless you see it in the spirit, unless God opens your mind, you read verse 10 and you don't see all what I'm talking about, but it's there. It's been put there on purpose. And when God gets ready to reveal himself, he reveals it. And you don't know this first round, your first reading, you're not going to see this. But you're going to get it, when you ask him, he'll reveal it to you. This has to be revealed to you. Just like when Peter said, he said, "Who do you say I am?" He said, "You're the son of the most, you know, the son of the living God." He said, "Well, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but this has been revealed to you by my Father." And so the same way happens in the Word of God. You're not going to get it the first reading. You're probably not going to be in the huddle the first game. But the more you stay, the more you go to practice, the more you learn, the more you show up, Shabbat after Shabbat after, because Shabbat is weekly feast. The weekly feast. The more you show up, the better you get. Some of you are sitting here. If we had said, preach this message 10 years ago, you'd have been looking at me going, "Pastor lost his mind." But you've been coming. You've been showing up. You've been showing up. And now you're ready for God. And I'm ready for it, because God has to reveal this to you. Because at first you look at it and you say, "Well, you know, I see something, but I don't see everything." He has to reveal it.
That's right.
If he don't reveal it, you don't know it. You can't make the connection, but he does. There's a purpose behind God doing it. It's not random. He had to do three gatherings, three separate words, meaning the same things, but he adds a little bit more emphasis on each one. Each one. So he says, you got to gather. First, you got to assemble. We got to quit forsaking to assemble ourselves. Folks going around saying you don't have to go to assemble, you don't have to go to church at home. Don't believe that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's people lazy, don't want to get up and get themselves ready to go to Shabbat. And so you can go there and say, "Well, you know," and they ask, they went house to house. Okay, well, this is the house. And you want to go to somebody else's house, by all means, go. But you can't you out a stone and get me to buy into it.
Right.
It's not going to happen. I gave you a text on it, how it parallels the New Testament. Forsake not the assembling of yourself like some do. So we should assemble. That's the first gathering. It's a general assembly. He's calling the gathering. What's going to happen during Passover? The shofar is going to sound. We're saying gather together. And everybody, the tables will be set. We're going to already be ready. Because during the Shabbat, during that Passover, he's telling us, it's time to get in the game. You're in the game now. Hey, it's all that practicing's over. Now it's you in the game. Somebody just go, hey, come on. You know how nervous it is? When the starting quarterback gets hurt in the Super Bowl and a backup quarterback's got to come in and they can win the game. You know how nervous that guy is?
Yep.
That guy's, he's shook. And if he wouldn't be on TV, he'd puke in front of everybody. And many of them went puke out in the tent because there's so much nerves hit them all at one time. And so it's the same thing with serving God. The time is going to come where he's going to say, hey, it's time, get in. Now it's you. And we have to be ready. We have to be prepared. So he gives us this language and he shows us this pattern so we can pay attention to it. So if he gave the same asav three times, we would have got nothing.
Right.
On purpose, he changes it, but it means the same, but it's an addition too. It's the same meaning, baseline meaning, but he adds addition too. The second gathering, what he says, what he adds? Here. Anytime the Shema's added in to any word, you better camp on that thing and spend some time looking at it. Because the Shema, he's telling you the huddle's been called, now the play's about to go forward. When the play gets called, now we have to listen. So I called a huddle, for real, not just now. I called a huddle a few, maybe over 1 month ago. I called a huddle. I run and gave the play. And now we're running that play out. How well did I listen? How well did I hear? I want to be responsible to be an asset to the win. I don't want to be somebody who don't want to pay attention and causes a loss. Because the loss affects you first. It deeply affects you, the loss. And then if you look around and it causes a loss for somebody else, it's hard to get over. It's hard to get through that. So this Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this, I looked and saw a great crowd. No one was able to count all the nations and tribes and people and tongues standing before the throne, before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hand. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, deliverance belongs to Elohim who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the messengers stood around the throne and the elders, the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped Elohim, saying, amen. Blessed and esteemed and the wisdom and the thanksgiving and the respect and the power and the might to Elohim forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders responded, saying to me, who are these dressed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to him, Master, you know. And he said to me, these are those coming out of the great distress. Coming out of what? I didn't think we went through great distress. According to the basketball players.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
According to these guys, we don't go through this distress. Can I tell you? Basketball players are completely different than football players. Basketball has a set of rules that's different from football. And what are we playing?
Football.
Remember, that was assigned to us. So you got to be careful when a basketball player tries to tell you about a play they run. And you're going to try to incorporate it into football.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't worry about the distress. You won't be here anyway.
Uh-huh.
Bless God.
Yeah.
We're going to be out of here.
Uh-huh.
Let me read that again.
Mm-hmm.
And the elder responded to me, he said, who are these dressed in white robes? Where did they come from? And I said to him, Master, you know. And he said to me, these are those coming out of the great distress, having washed their robes and made themselves white in the blood of the Lamb. Why are you not afraid of the distress? Because the blood of the Lamb's got you covered. You're not afraid of that. But then along the way, there might be one person, just one person, that you speak into their life and say, hey, you don't have to stay doing this. Why believe all that? That one person can get in the huddle. It'd be worth all the distress. Joel said, you know, he said, I count it all joy. The struggles, you know, what is the struggles? And this guy went through some stuff.
Yes, he did.
Because of one person he can speak to, speak in their life. And that should be our goal. Our goal should be able to speak into somebody's life.
That's right.
And minister to them. Because of this, they were before the throne of Elohim and served him day and night in his dwelling place. And he who sits on the throne shall spread his tent over them. How many know that when he says he spreads his tent over us, he's speaking of Sukkot? What do? We spread the tent. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun strike them nor any heat, because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them. Let me see this. And lead them to the fountain of water of life. And Elohim shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. Is that all right? That we just let the word say the word? Do we let the word interpret the word? Is that okay? You know, you can sit down with somebody and use a simple little illustration like this, and they'll look at you and go, that's okay. And they'll walk away with their basketball. You know why people do that? Because it's you saying it. That's why we have to look at this as a team. My family member may not listen to me, but they'll listen to you. Every voice matters. Every person on the team matters. We need 11 people, and I'm just using that because that's what's the rule for football. We need every person at the line for every play, for every second of the play, doing what they've been trained to do. This is not one guy does everything. This is not two people doing everything. You can take a $1 million quarterback and hook him up with a 2-bit receiver and they lose the game.
Yeah.
Quarterback could be good, but they can't throw the ball and run down there and catch it.
That's right.
We need each other in order to pull this thing off and do what God called us to do. Amen. But we gotta leave this nonsense.
Yes.
We can't be in two worlds trying to do both things. That's why we have to leave what he didn't institute. We got to leave from used stones and go back to the natural way in which God developed for the whole world. Amen?
Amen.
So, looking at this, I think God really wants to help us. He wants to help us. He wants us to see these principles laid out in our lives. And I'm going to give you this again real quick. 8622 Asaph, to gather, bring, and collect harvest. Feast connection is Pesach and Hag Hamatzot. On Pesach, in unleavened bread, Israel is gathered out of Egypt, brought in from slavery unto covenant. We're going to read this. We read in Exodus 12. We'll look at that. We'll see. All of a sudden, God delivers them through Pesach. The blood gets applied. The mercy is on every frame has the mercy. If you listen to the song, mercy is on every frame. In that city of Goshen, mercy was on every frame while they were in darkness. It was a night deliverance. That Passover was the beginning of God gathering his people. That theme, if the Bible's correct and our interpretation's correct, we can't change that theme and how everything's going to work out in the end. Keeps the same. It's the first gathering that Yaakov gathered the sons didn't represent Pesach. It's going to tell on us. All of a sudden, Pesach doesn't have order, doesn't match it. But how many know when you look at it, it matches it perfectly. And there's only three feasts in which it's required for a pilgrimage. And it's the three feasts that represent these three gatherings. Exactly. Now the end time gathering has to match it exactly the same. Or you're following the wrong Messiah, the wrong Mashiach. So you're not going to be, they're not going to be able to change the game. Oh, didn't you hear? Didn't you hear, brother? I don't know if you got the memo. You're not in football no more. You're in basketball. What do you say to that? We're all going to be in basketball. We're not in football no more. You're going to say, "Fooey" on that. I ain't believing that nonsense. Because he started us in football, and he's going to finish us in football. But see, again, practically, hopefully, you'll see this, and you'll be able to apply it to your life when you're reading the text. God doesn't change. He doesn't have to change. Well, yeah, let me tell you. When Yeshua came, he said, "I hate football." Matter of fact, football is over with. We don't need football anymore. I'm starting a new thing called basketball. Really? Do you think that happened? Well, that's the nonsense that gets said every Sunday.
That's right.
Changing the game, changing the rules, and God never said it. Now, you might forget something, but you ain't forgetting the day. You ain't forgetting the day. And if you want to get somebody's attention, you ever had this, one of these upside the head? They'll remember it. People say that Yeshua came and he changed the game. He changed the rules. And some people say, "Well, yeah, we're still playing football, but you only need six guys. Still playing football, but only playing, and the rules have changed. The point system changed. The way you play the game changes. It would be confusing, wouldn't it? You think God's in that business of confusing? You think God will start you out in football and in the end take you out with some nonsense? Doesn't make sense. If he starts you with something, Genesis 1 all the way through the Torah, he's going to finish with Genesis 1 all the way through the Torah. I'm telling you. Don't believe the rest. Because that's exactly what God done, and he secured it in how he writes Hebrew. Three gatherings, three feasts, and in the end, the New Testament connections shows us is exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do that same in the end. Amen. Let me give you a couple more verses. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. First Corinthians 5, if the first gathering is Pesach, everybody say, the first gathering is Pesach. How many understand that concept in the Bible that I just showed you? There's three gatherings spoken of in 49, chapter 49 of Genesis. The first gathering represents Pesach. How many sees that for yourself? Now we ought to find that in Corinthians, right? Verse 7 says, "Therefore, clean out the old leaven so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. For also Messiah, our Pesach, was slaughtered for us." At what point he changed that? If he came, if he's not the Pesach, the first gathering, then we're following the wrong Messiah. When he does tell us to clean out the old leaven, because what happens when you're playing football for a long time and you lose a lot, first thing you want to do is start changing rules. And the rules are not, you're not going to change, you're not going to get in better shape, you're not going to show up with more practice, you're not going to fine tune, you want to change it so the guy who's doing that, there's a disadvantage there. That's what you want to do. So you want to start adding and taking away at your own liberty. Called the old traditions. You know what Yeshua says? Hey, clean out the old leaven. You'll be a new lump. Because I am the Pesach. I am the Passover. And so we see, again, all through Scripture, this gathering of number one made it all this way, all the way to the New Testament. Isn't that amazing? So don't try to tell me he changed something. He can't change it. But people can use stones and chisel on it and beat on it. I mean, if it don't come off with the first hammer, you get a bigger hammer. And they just chop at it. You know, you're chopping at it and chopping at it. Before you know it, you can shape it however you want. You can just get it however you want. And then you can say, you know what, God, this is God on us. You can say whatever you want to say. But when you take your used stone and try to match it back to what is written, you can't fit it nowhere. It don't go nowhere. It don't fit nowhere. The fact that you say the Torah is done away with, where does that fit anywhere in Scripture? Anywhere. Doesn't fit anywhere. It fits in a person's mind, in their book that they wrote personally, and it also fits in people who show up and all they do is play this. And their head is about as empty as this ball is. Because that's all they see. They don't see what God has established. And so we see the second gathering connection. He says, gather and listen, O sons of Jacob, listen to Israel, your father. And that's kavats. It means together, assemble, heap, together, congregate. Huddle up. The Shavuot people assemble at Mount Sinai to receive the word of God, the Torah. That's what they showed up to receive the word of God. They assembled around the word. This is the assembly to be instructed or gathering. They are not just gathering near, like 622, but they are gathering tightly to receive the word, receive the play. Does this make sense? You're gathering tight to receive the play. Now you know. Just as the sons of Jacob are called to listen to Israel, Elohim calls his people to assemble at Shavuot to hear the voice of the Father. What voice were they hearing at Sinai? What did they tell Moshe? Tell him to quit speaking. We'll hear your voice, but we don't want to hear God no more. Because it was so real. It was nothing. It was unadulterated. It was the pure word of God going through every fiber of their being. It was piercing them. And they felt such a conviction. Stop! Stop! We're just going to do whatever you say. It doesn't matter. Not let it heal them. They were just ready for the pain to stop. The conviction was so difficult. Sometimes that happens in church. People come to church, they're very nervous. Do I mean people nervous? I kind of feel like I don't try to make people nervous. But you can only be nervous if you have something going on inside of you. The word of God is going to go forth, and wherever you are, it's going to hit you. It's going to go quick and powerful. It's going to be sharp and intuitive. So it's going to cut going in and cut coming out. It's going to hurt you going in and hurt you coming out. Mm-hmm. It pierces the center, divides soul, spirit, joint, man, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what it does. Right. It's quick and powerful. So the word goes forth. You're going to be very uneasy if you're not living right. If you're letting some stuff in, if you come here with a bunch of used stones in your pocket, it's not you're gonna be uneasy. This message will make you very uneasy. But if you say, you know what, I'm in this game, and I heard the prayer, and I'm gonna run this prayer, I'm gonna give my best. Because you know, you don't pray in sports to lose. Nobody does. Nobody gets in there to lose. I'm not in this thing to lose. I've been in this thing all my life. I'm not in this thing to lose. We want to go out, and I want to get to the, you know, when you're in high school, you hope one day you can play in the Super Bowl, in the Superdome. You know, go to the finals in the Superdome. That's just kind of a highlight, you know. Other than that, you're playing on, you know, at schools, and they got some nice places, but it's not the Super Bowl. It's not the Superdome. The Superdome is like the Super Bowl of the high school. You in the NFL, you like playing, they got beautiful stadiums, but when it's the Super Bowl, it's different. And let me tell you, we're about to enter in, or we are in the Super Bowl of the end times. And I want to huddle up when he says huddle. First, I need to gather. If you're not gathering, you don't even hear the huddle. You have no idea that the huddle was made. And it's sad that anybody in this church we'll know that the huddle's made. If you gather, you ought to know the huddle's made. And then when you're in the huddle, you listen. And I'm not making this up. This is what's on the pages of my Bible. Should be on the pages of your Bible. But the way the Lord showed me, he said, if you want to get them to practically understand this, I want you to get a football and a basketball. All right? I always start with two items, you know, one item, two items, whatever it is. But he don't tell me nothing else. I'm still not dawned on me yet. Okay, what football got to do with this? And then he'll start to tell you, put it all together. But sometimes he wants you to get your stuff together. Get your stuff together. Go and search out the land. Drive the stake. Make it a point and a purpose. You know, hear the pray. Now line up. Hut, hut. That's where we are. Now the rest is up to God. Only God can bring all that talent, all that character and uniqueness together and run a perfect play and have a perfect school. Only God can do that. And so that's what we're expecting him to do. And when did he do that? He does that at Sukkot. He does that at Sukkot. Now let's look at this Shavuot, Acts chapter 2. How much I have, brother? You give me 30 minutes? That was 30 minutes? Did I see it wrong? I must have looked at it wrong. Acts chapter 2. How many ready for the play? I'm about to give you the play. You ready? And when the day of Pentecost, or the day of festival of Shavuot, had come, they were all with one mind and one place. When you're in the huddle, you got to be what? One mind and one place. You can't be over here, off to the side with your basketball. The huddle's been called. You got to be in one mind and one place. That place is the huddle. If you got guys starting to lag around and say, well, it ain't gonna be my play. I'm just blocker. The coach is gonna pick up on that and he's gonna say, well, you know what? Switch him out. Get him on the sideline. You can have a talk to him. Say, hey, are you serious? The game is on the line and you act like you can't run a little bit further to the huddle. Well, I'm tired. We're all tired. Listen, we're all tired. We're all at the end. But you gotta push yourself. When you're tired, you push yourself. You keep going. You don't quit. You don't give up. You know, we talk about, well, we want something to do. You're about to have something to do. This week coming, you're going to figure out if you want to play or not.
That's right.
We're going to be busy. But it's going to be for a good reason. But don't be out on us. When the huddle's called, don't be over here still doing this. Nobody here should be doing this. Not one person should be doing this. This is your life. Living with huge stones. Want to go back to yesteryear. It never happened. Not being the will of God. I hope you hear this at night. It's annoying, ain't it? That's why I didn't like basketball. I like this. Go for the bomb. Talking about. I'm gonna be open. Hit me. I told you I had your attention. So this Acts 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. There's nothing like when that rushing mighty wind comes. That was the CD, Carl? Okay. And there appeared to him divided tongues as a fire and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the set apart spirit and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them to speak. And so, once you understand that this Spirit came in Acts 2, just like the Spirit came on Mount Sinai. What did the Spirit deposit on Mount Sinai? What did the Spirit deposit? The Word of the Most High. What did the Spirit deposit in Acts 2? The same thing. The only difference is, this time, He wrote it on their hearts. So you got to pray. If you're a person who professes to be a believer, and you're in the game, you can't say you don't have to pray. Now, you got to be reminded of the pray sometimes. That's why God sets up a pastor, and we assemble ourselves, and we hear the pray over. We got to be told again. Say it again. But you have to pray. And so we see that in Acts. Now, look at this Acts chapter 2, this story. They shall all gather into one place. Very important. The third gathering, the substance shall not depart from the ruler, nor the ruler's staff between his feet, until Shiloh come, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, the gathering of the people. The Hebrew word, again, is kavah. It means to wait, hope, look for, gather to someone. Now this Sukkot, or the tabernacle, Sukkot, the people are gathered in booths. A picture of dwelling with Elohim, of the end time and gathering of the nations. Sukkot is the feast of the nations. Look at Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, starting with verse 16. And it shall be that all who are left from all nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to bow themselves to the sovereign, Jehovah of hosts, and to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. Now this is at the end. This is the very end of the end. I thought this was all over with. What is he talking about celebrating Sukkot for? Listen, one thing that's very important. Who is Mashiach the master? Do you believe he's master of Shabbat? That's what it said. This is stuff he says. He's the Lord of the Shabbat. If he's Lord of Shabbat, and I'm following him, and he's Lord, literally, he's the one that kind of oversees Shabbat. Shouldn't I be keeping Shabbat? I mean, that's basic stuff. He's Lord of Shabbat, but I don't keep Shabbat. That don't make sense. We said it, we claim he does these things, but we don't follow what he does. It's absolutely nonsense. And so in this particular setting, we see in Sukkot, and it shall be that if anyone of the clan of the earth, anyone of the clans of the earth, anyone, does not come up to Jerusalem to bow himself to the sovereign Jehovah of hosts, on them there is to be no rain. And if the clan of Mitzrayim does not come up and enter in, then there is no rain on them, is the plagues with which Jehovah plagued the nations who did not come up to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. Let me see that. So clearly we see in here, in verse 19 it says, and this is the punishment of Mitzrayim, and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to celebrate the festival of Sukkot. God calls it a punishment. So is there a consequence for not paying attention in the huddle, and when you get there, you run the wrong play? You go back to use stones. Is there a consequence for that? He's telling us there is. That consequence is going to be severe, and you'll lose everlasting life. Who wants to lose everlasting life? You know, we use this kind of this practical way of illustrating this, but this is game play. This doesn't mean nothing. This is to help you remember. This is, you know, it don't matter. But when you talk about real life, it matters what you do. It really matters. You know, after I got out of high school, I kind of stuck with football for a while. I followed, you know, you pick a team or whatever. And now I could care less. Because my interests are different. And it's not like I'm not against it. I'll sit down with anybody here. If there's a game on, I'll watch it with you. And I'll pull for somebody. But it's not my interest anymore. I realize we're in a game of life. That's more my interest. And I think about this every day. And when think about it, there's seasons that come with this stuff. This is never off season. It's never an off season. And it has to matter. We're talking about people's lives. That has to matter to us. Sometimes I think if we put as much energy in and we go after, like we go after this stuff that's temporal, and put it in this, there would nobody be able to touch when we hit the field. Wouldn't be able to touch us. I'm convinced of that. Just a little bit of that same enthusiasm, a little bit of that digging in and getting after it, you wouldn't be able to be touched. There's nothing. You could dream all you want. Want all you want, he'll build it. That's what'll happen. But we have to have energy. We have to focus. We have to have focus. We can't be thinking about something else. We can't be thinking about another place. We have to focus. The plan has been given. The play needs to be run. How many ready to run that play? Amen. Amen? And we're going to see this come to be. But this is what God dealt with me concerning these three gatherings in the text. And I hope this is blessed you as it's blessed me. The three gatherings of Genesis 49 are not just patriarchal moments, they're a prophetic feast. 622 Asav, the gathering of the redeemed out of the world, Pesach. First, he's got to give you a difference. He had to show a distinction between his people and the Mizrites. Did he do that? He said, my people, they hear my voice. And when I tell them to put the blood on the door and the lintel, they put it on there. How many died in Israel when they put the blood on the door? How many died? Not one. All Mizrite, there was not a home where it didn't have a death in it. The mourning was so loud they could hear it echoing in towns away. They can hear the mourning because they didn't listen. And so do we need to pay attention? Yes. Absolutely. Then we have Kavats, the assembling of the body under the word and the spirit of Shavuot. The Bible says as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. You can hear the word, but if you're not led by the Spirit in the word, it goes nowhere. You have the word, you have a knowledge of the word, but you do not apply the word. So we don't want to just get fat here at the church. We're just getting fat on the word. We're not allowing the word to do its job. Don't just be fat on the word. Let the word do its job. And so in order to do that, we have to let the Spirit lead us. And then we have this kavah, or this Yikaha, 33:49, the gathering of nations in hope and obedience to Messiah. Remember, it's all surrounded around obedience. We hear the word, don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. We can hear the play, but if we don't run the play that we heard, what good is it? What if everybody decides to just do what they want? The quarterback says hike, and the center doesn't hike the ball. He said, well, I thought maybe we could just do it this way. Or maybe, it ruins the whole game. And you have going, Get rid of him. You know, we quarterback from the couch, or we coach from the couch. Everybody does that. Some people never play football a day in their life, but they're the best quarterbacks and best coaches from the couch. You give them the ball and tell them, get in the game, let me tell you. You talk about getting nervous. All you got to do is toss them the ball. Just toss it to them like that. You don't believe? Ask these guys when they get tossed the ball. It's different, ain't it? Because you have a responsibility. You got to run the play. It's too late to ask me. You got to run the play. And you got to be responsible for the outcome. An outcome's going to happen. And so the outcome that I want to see is I want to see everybody in the will of God doing what God wants you to do. Now, there's things that you see in the Spirit. And the Lord's been really showing me different things in the Spirit that I see. I see the impact on people's life. I see the impact in how people are affected. But when we run this play correctly and do it God's way, amen, the impact it'll have, there's only one result, and that's win. You can't help but win when you do it His way. Amen? Amen. Well, I hope this has helped you as it helped me, because it sure helped me. Yes. And hopefully I kept your attention with these, I don't want to call them silly, but they're just balls. But it's stuff that you relate to in your life. You relate to these things. Now, receiving is an act of your own will, right? So, I don't know if you was here, but there was a time I had a football like this, and I put a $100 bill on the football. And I had different balls. And I had some balls that only had like a quarter on it. And I said, and I throw it out. Now, you know, some people, if it hits me, I catch it. It's a quarter. But then I put this one on $100. And let me tell you, people thought they was Jerry Rice. Hit me for the bomb. they instantly turned into Jerry Rice for that 100.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, well, you know, the word of God, you got to receive it. And hopefully you did that. Hopefully your posture was different. Remember, how you slide in the huddle matters on what's going to be spoken to you. In Yehuda, he got right next to the quarterback. He probably had his hand on his daddy. Tell me, Dad. Son, the scepter will not depart from you. What a word. What a word given to the guy who left. The first one to get out of die. The first one who went back to basketball playing. What a word given to that. So don't tell me God can't give you second chances and restart your life and put you in the best spot that it is. He can. And so I hope this has blessed you as it has blessed me. I love you and I appreciate you. Thank God for you. Let's stand.